Good afternoon and welcome. Calling to order the Sisters Urban Forestry Board meeting at 3 o'clock p.m. on April 8th, 2024. We will do roll call.
Vice Chair Burke. Or sorry, Chair Burke, absent. Vice Chair Kohler.
Here.
Board Member Pellerin.
Here.
Board Member McChristian.
Here.
Vice Chair, we have a quorum.
Let's go to review approval of minutes. Does anyone have any comments?
I just had two minor typos, I think, under three visitor communications. Burke, I'm like fifth sentence down is just missing the R. It says Buke.
Okay.
And then on down under board member comments, section six, second paragraph, first sentence, City Forester Galecki described two old growth and one medium-sized declining ponderosa pines. Should that be and? Not on, okay. That's all I caught, the rest look good.
That's to check to see if you actually read them.
I know, I knew that.
Very well done.
Thank you.
So also on the board member comments, the very first paragraph, this is on page four of the minutes. That sentence says, preservation efforts were satisfactory, though not physical tree. It's an odd choice of words. I think it's supposed to be no, though no physical tree protection was present. Any other comments on the minutes? Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion and we approve the minutes.
I second.
Okay. Motion moved and approved, and there's no visitor communication?
No visitor communication.
Okay. So board business. Review a draft heritage tree nomination form in your packets.
So with direction from the board, we started working on a draft heritage tree nomination form. And that is what you folks will be looking at today, using language from the municipal code. We hopefully have it draft sufficient for private and public tree nominations. And hoping to get some comments and feedback from you folks.
I thought it looked good. I would just have one suggestion or idea. On the bottom of the first page, it states, under attachments, written consent of property owner if located on private property and applicant is other than the property owner, would it implies that maybe there's going to be a letter attachment since it's under attachments. And then on the second page at the bottom, it has property owner's signature if the tree is located on private property. So I'm wondering if just the signature on that second page would be enough and an attachment would not be required. Simplify it a bit.
Weigh in, Councilor Ross, because you're going to,
yeah, we'll be seeing,
you guys will be seeing this too. So
I think that depends on how this packet is handed out, but it could be clearer, but I think you want to know that a renter or occupant of a piece of property that's not their own recommends this, and it goes to the process that the owner has indeed signed off on it. So it might be that in the process of whatever comes up, that it would require the two signatures. I mean, I think one is just sort of a something that's attached. This says, yes, I, Bob Smith, own the property at 587 South Locust Street, and I approve of moving forward with this application. That should be probably on here before we go anywhere else. And so it may be in the wrong spot, but I'm thinking that the council would want to see sign off on the property owner as well as the property owner's signature. And part of that's going to be, this will go by the attorney before we're done and be sure that with a heritage tree on private property, there is indeed some sort of a sense of that tree is now protected. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that will be, that's not on this form, but that's for the attorney, is how does that work with successive landowners? Okay, I want my tree preserved. I own my house. Fine. Then I move and sell it to Paul. And the next thing I know, Paul's got a chainsaw back and firing it up. So, you know, how does that work? And so it's more complicated than this form will imply. But I think that having multiple places where the owner signs off is not a bad thing. It may be duplicitous, and I agree with you. But at the same point in time,
I think
you're just kind of covering your bases.
I do see under here, under number 5, it says the nomination or consent of a property owner will bind all successors, heirs, and assigns.
And that's part of what will go by the attorney.
Okay, yeah, how that'll work.
This is draft because
right.
It'll be interesting to see what what they say. I mean, it's been done another thing, so I'm sure there's not illegal. I just want to be sure we have the language correct, and maybe there needs to be some other part to the form that more than property signature that is a statement of assignment.
Yeah, I was curious on number 6 about the instrument that an owner would have to record, and I guess that's all kind of has to be solidified a bit more with the lawyer, because that would
and the county.
Yeah, and then does that transfer, does that stay with that property, or is that instrument only tied to the current ownership?
I've been doing some thorough research on that, seeing what some other cities have done. I even spoke with the arborist for Lake Oswego. A common thing for other cities is some kind of legal document that gets recorded with all the legal lingo and ends in a deed restriction on the property. That's the common format I'm seeing with other cities. But we'd have to, you know, consult with legal, consult with the county, see if that document meets the requirements.
Because in the end, the document is actually filed with the county, I believe, and not just with the city. Am I correct on that?
Well, it would need to, in order to show up on a title report, it would need to be recorded at the county.
Yeah, you'd
be available to a third party.
You'd want to be sure that it is, of course. And so, and there, some of what is not in here that will be worked out in the fine print is who pays for the recording fee and those sorts of things. And that's, you don't want to get too buried in here in this. I like the simplicity of the form, but I think there's probably going to be more behind it than what we actually see. This would be my guess.
This would be the nomination, which would open you up to variety of different efforts you might have to make afterward to complete the process.
It's going to be policy
at
that point.
I think it is too.
Yeah.
And that's why the council will have some discussions on it. But nothing in here scared me. I just think that it's easy when we're talking. That's kind of a slam dunk. It's a lot harder when we're talking trees on private property. And it's like an easement of when the sewer line went into my house and the neighbor's house, they had to adjust the property line in order to put the sewer line in. So I have a really wonky property line. But that was something that was done after the property was platted, after the houses were built, in order to run the sewer line out to the street. And that happens. And so that's all recorded in the deed. And so if you look at the original drawings, it's not there, but you look at the recorded drawings, it is. And I'm bound by that, of course. Much to my neighbor's dismay.
The very last page also outlines the rough process this would take So city forester would, of course, go out and verify that the tree meets the requirements, is healthy, and the surrounding conditions would allow the tree to live. Of course, would then go to this board for approval, then to city council for final approval. And there is another box there for instrument recorded at the county, just that we have proof that it was indeed recorded, and finishing off with city manager approval.
That doesn't make me think when I see here that the applicant will provide a report to the arboriforestry board from a certified arborist. I think it might be relevant in that case to recommend a tree risk assessment qualified arborist, because a certified arborist, there's another level you can get of a tree risk assessment qualification where you actually are trained to deem trees safe and unsafe, or, you know, hazard or not. At the certified arborist level, you're not really, you don't have a lot of training in that. And it might be kind of nice, especially if we're talking heritage trees and significant situations, it might be nice to require that. And it's not an uncommon qualification.
Does it make sense for our city forester to be that person?
Oh, well, I suppose they could.
I would think we would want that person to recommend the tree as well to the board.
I would think that would be a question that I would have as a city councilor, has the city forester examined the tree?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you, but it may be that if we use the city forester as that individual, even though our city forester is standing in a sunny sky in Roseburg and looking quite happy about it, and maybe that language needs to be in there.
Yeah, because I think right now it says or provide a report from a certified arborist at this point.
That language is any pruning or removal of a heritage tree.
Whereas
any action against
proactively at the beginning of the process.
Well,
having a forester.
Well,
the tree healthy enough.
I think that if they're going to remove the tree, it needs to be deemed hazardous, and the person that deems it hazardous should be qualified to do so. It's kind of what I'm looking at. The pruning is a little different, you know. I think you could recommend pruning with the certified arborist, training, level of training, but the
those are taken directly out of the Heritage Tree Code.
Oh, okay. Is that a state level thing?
I'm sorry.
City.
The
city. Oh, this is directly from our current city code. Okay.
I felt like that was the most relevant information for
a
private property owner if they were going to go for their final signature, so that they were aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would presume if we would have modified that significantly, we'd probably have to look at modifying the code as well. Potentially. Yep. Which then is an action of the city council.
Mm-hmm.
Another whole process.
One would hope,
because I'm learning.
One would hope a private property owner would read the code, but there's certainly more code language we could insert into there.
Well, thank you, Jackson and Paul, for getting this form together for the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it. I had a couple of comments. One is relative to our discussion right now about having the city forester look at the tree. Seems like that's implied that would happen before the tree was able to be nominated by the, as a check mark on the last page, city forester approved. And then when I was reading this, I thought, where does it say that these are trees within the city limits of Sisters? And or could it also be the urban growth boundary, which right now is one and the same, but at some future point might not be one and the same. And I don't know if the municipal code implies that it has to be within the city of Sisters' actual boundaries or not. But the casual person who looks at this might be a mile out of town and wonder.
So I'm not a lawyer, but I would suspect, knowing how city code works,
That's exactly what it is. It applies to the city limits. If an urban growth boundary expansion occurs, that is still county property until such time as that land is annexed into the city, at which time becomes city property or city taxation property. So that's the gray area that might be worth asking the attorney, but I suspect, and I could be wrong, that indeed we're talking about within the city limits, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I want to, was thinking about reading this more carefully. If you look, it's subject to section 4.05.050, Sisters Municipal Code, which section 2 under the heritage tree proposal. And then down below, it says when a tree is located on private property and designated, it will record an instrument saying that it's subject to 4.05.0.5.0. And so those both speak pretty firmly to what can and can't be done within the scope to a heritage tree. And that, to me, by inference, implies that the city forester is going to be involved in that process. Mm-hmm. I would think. I think that's kind of what the code talks about. So we refer to that code in three different places in this form, mm-hmm. on the first page and twice underneath the regarding issues. It might be redundant, but it's in there. And that may, three may just would kind of clarify in plain language what the code already states.
Thank you. One other observation I had about the citing the code is that item number 6, when it talks about the tree is subject to the regulations of section 4.05, blah, 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 would it make sense to add a phrase that spells out or any subsequent code? Because maybe in 5 years, it won't be that code, that section number anymore, if things get moved around. And maybe that doesn't need to be on this form right here, but at the time that an instrument is recorded, for an attorney, you talk about future code numbering possibilities.
Good point.
Yep.
Because code does get revised and in times replaced, mm-hmm. as things change. As I, again, as I'm learning.
It's definitely important to get this private property thing nailed down, yes. because mm-hmm. I mean, some of the biggest trees we have in town are on private property.
Mm-hmm. Well, that just makes me think, would it make sense to have two different nomination forms? That way we can move forward with a public nomination form. And it will take some time to do the private nomination, and that may be it may be nice to have that as a separate process. That it will, you know, it's a thought. I'm not sure if it would or not, but
well, I'm all for whatever can move the process along, and that is a good point. That if we could unzip it, the public trees. But that is also a question for Paul and Jackson, and I don't know, from a city point of view, it might be just so much better to expedite it this way.
I would think from a paperwork and confusion point of view, one form's better than two if we can make it work. It's less for these folks to deal with. Mm-hmm. It's less for those folks to deal with, and it also removes confusion. And I would add that if we're waiting for some information related to the private property aspect of this and getting it nailed down, but the rest of the form is fine, it doesn't preclude it being used for city tree nominations while the private component nomination is pending. It's a very good point. And I just hate to see us burden staff with two different forms. There's also mm-hmm. a chance that someone's given the wrong form. Mm-hmm. And I think it's best to keep it simple. And nothing said precludes city trees from being nominated using this criteria
if we still have the public pieces in the attorney's office being figured out. But I'm with Paul. Some of the biggest heritage trees in town are private property.
Yeah.
So from a logistics point of view, our comments are, I would say, nothing that would require like restarting the process. So is it possible at this point to get it on the city council agenda to also look at it, and you could provide them what feedback points we made?
If you guys are general, give us give the city council that you approve of the form, you're good with the form, and we got the minor changes, obviously, that you can let us know that today versus waiting for us to bring it back to you next month to then go to city council. That can get us on sooner.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think last month it was explained that it would need to go, it would be a candidate for a city council workshop. Is that the correct process?
Yeah. Yep.
It probably would be in the other sorts of things, or it, I don't see the system assuming a great degree of time in a council workshop. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a slam dunk, unless we have some issues with how people perceive private property. That's the only thing I could think of.
Okay.
But I think we've addressed that, or the staff, not with staff has addressed. I'm taking the royal we there. Staff has addressed that in their work.
Yeah, we could try to get it in on a May council agenda.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
As a workshop or just an item to workshop. Discuss?
Okay. Yep.
But once it comes in on a workshop, it can move pretty fast through some form of city council approval if everything else is fine in terms of the form once it's been workshopped, because staff will then pretty much know what council's thinking.
And then, yeah, we can bring it back for approval the next meeting.
So that would, you know, you could have something by zip my lip, but we have budget coming up, but you could have something by early summer, midsummer, I would think.
Yeah, I think this fiscal year.
I think it's reasonable, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the reasons to move this forward, too, while there's no real expense involved in it, if there's any budgetary implications, we're working on the budget, and that this is the time to get something like that into the budget, giving Paul an extra $1 million to run it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's just important for council to get in on workshop format, to be able to ask questions, to be able to, because what they're thinking is all, are there any unintended consequences with this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're running through their brain. So we want to definitely give them every opportunity to be able to really think about it, ask questions. You know, we can go back to our attorney and get clarification, you know, to make sure it's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we workshop. It's an informal discussion session, free form, and it allows us to really work things out without having to do it in the formality of a meeting.
I think it's really beneficial that Susan Cobb's having her tree nominated as the first one. So that really kind of helps us maybe play it out a little bit.
And to that point about Susan Cobb's nomination, ahead of the workshop, could there be drafted an actual sample instrument against private property? Using her, like, this is the tree, and
I don't know, because a lot of that depends on the county, because they're gonna determine the instrument that's gonna be required, because they're the one doing the recording of it.
Okay.
So that's where Jackson's been reaching out to different cities to figure out, because we don't know if Deschutes County has actually done this before.
I don't think so.
My guess is probably not. So this is going to be new to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we go down that road, I don't know if their board of commissioners have to approve it. I don't know.
But, sorry, I missed that part of the conversation.
What started with, I asked if it would be possible to get, do the legwork ahead of the workshop so that at the workshop, one could present a draft and say, this is what it, a private property encumberment would look like. But then there's some question about where in the process the county would go with that. I mean, is that going to be a whole nother pathway of work with them? Don't know. But it seems like we could know ahead of the workshop if it was going to take extra due diligence time with the county, because they won't just record something that we hand to them.
Jackson, I do have one comment on the nomination page second. Please provide specific information regarding the details associated with the nomination and some lines. You might want to just put something along, use an additional sheet if necessary, or something along that line that implies they don't have to try to make it fit within the eight lines that are there. Sometimes that works, sometimes that doesn't. I also don't want to have War and Peace show up on the desk, but, you know, so, you know, you could say briefly, you know, provide specific information, age, whatever makes the tree unique, especially if it's not a ponderosa. Maybe it's an apple tree. And why is that apple tree significant? Well, it was on an original homestead, and it's one of the last remaining apples, something along that line. So I always get worried when I try to work on a form like this. I have to try to fit something into the space.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's a good point.
You could say attach up to one additional sheet if necessary, something so we don't have War and Peace. But
yeah,
I don't know how you feel about that, Paul, but sometimes it's a little hard to make stuff fit into it.
Mm-hmm.
Box.
Yeah, that's fine.
Easy change.
Especially if you have handwriting like mine. Although the city is pretty good about having these forms, you can fill them out online.
One interesting suggestion, Lake Oswego, they save their nominations to go through the process in late fall, winter, so that they go through the approval process by April, and then they are announced at their Arbor Day celebration.
That sounds great.
Kind of add some ceremony to it. Mm-hmm. So that's...
And I want to apologize because I've been mumbling more than speaking, and I'm sure that you're trying to figure out what I'm saying up there, Dan, so my apologies.
Oh, I can hear everybody.
Okay.
So maybe when... And if that's part of the process that they're batched and there's a deadline, perhaps that deadline needs to get on the form.
I think it's a great idea because it seems like it could be a lot more efficient, especially if we're having the city forester involved. We're submitting with the county. We can kind of submit a batch and then, you know, somebody can work on it. Onesie, twosie might be really cumbersome. I could see why it might make a lot of sense.
And do we have an idea of when we would like the deadline to be? Year end, maybe?
Working back from Arbor Day, mm-hmm. which is late April.
It could be simple language, like submit by this date for approval for this year's or next year's Arbor Day celebration. Doesn't mean we can't take it, but just making them aware of when they would need to submit it by for it to be announced at that Arbor Day.
The only thing that comes to mind for me with that is, say it's batched and you submit in May, but you had intent to nominate your tree and sell your property or something. You know, I could see where you might want to have a little bit, you might not want to wait an entire year in some cases if you were just after the deadline to nominate your tree.
Well, it's a simple checkbox. Would you like your nomination, like your tree's nomination or whatever, to be announced on Arbor Day?
I mean, we could just...
Simple as that. Just do it.
On Arbor Day, announce all the trees that prior year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's...
That were
right.
Deemed heritage. But I wouldn't... I'm kind of with you. I wouldn't
I am too.
Recommend waiting on any nomination. Because there could be time-sensitive nominations for sure.
Okay, that's fine with me. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that. I'm just curious what other reasons like Oswego might be doing it in a batch format other than announcing it at Arbor Day.
It's Lake Oswego.
Because it's Lake Oswego. They got to be different.
I think they commented something to the extent of letting council focus on other items so that they're not a nomination form every other meeting kind of thing. So they could devote one meeting just to nominations.
I don't think we're that complex.
At this point.
At this point, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it first has to go to the Urban Forestry Board, correct? And then we propose that to City Council. If I'm kind of looking at this checklist of approvals, I think once it's passed the Urban Forestry Board, we've presented it to City Council. It might be a simple yes if the process has all been defined already.
It could slide into a consent agenda.
I was just about to say the same thing, and I thought maybe I better keep my mouth shut.
Because City Council's going to, they're going to depend on you guys to vet.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the only way it would be pulled from the consent agenda would be if a council happened to look at that particular address, or they had a call from a citizen who was concerned, in which case it would get pulled from the consent agenda and discussed in the meeting. Otherwise, it's approved along with the other sort of mundane things like the check register and stuff like that.
Liquor licenses.
Yeah.
So it should not take much of City Council time then, which is...
Not once the policy's in place.
Right. Once the policy's in place. So then, you know, not batching these up makes sense to me.
And like I said, we all look over the consent agenda. We know what's in it. And 99% is just sort of technical business. So we take care of all with one vote rather than with seven.
Yeah.
Is there any more discussion about this?
I think we got a list. Most of it is legal inquiries, and we'll start talking with the county on how the whole instrument creation is going to work.
Okay. I
just want to comment, as even if that's a slow process, I think it's kind of cool to be, if we are the first community to be pushing that, I think there's something to be said for that. It's really like pioneering the way maybe other communities can follow. So it may slow us down, but eventually speed up the whole thing. So it's pretty cool.
Hopefully it's simple.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
That would be my hope as well. You never know with the county, but
Could it equate to like a historical property, like a historical building, and maybe it'll be a similar
potentially, but when you use the word historical, that raises certain types of issues with some people. I know that the historical committee, the Deschutes County Historical Board of
Society,
has pretty much been shut down, hasn't it? They haven't done much. I think the county hasn't supported them to do much. Maybe I should rephrase that.
The Historical Society is history?
Well, it would be like, let's say we nominate a building or we nominate, you know, so some people see that as a... People have different views of what that term means, I guess is what I'm saying.
Sure.
So the word heritage is, I think, it's not a softer, kinder, gentler word, but it's a word that doesn't have quite so many red flags attached to it for different groups.
Okay. I get it.
Read the paper, RV park.
Yeah.
There's still a landmarks commission.
Yeah.
That's landmarks. Active okay, in Deschutes County.
That was at landmarks.
Yeah. Yep.
Landmarks.
So we can make a motion at this point to approve the form, I'm asking, with the consideration that you are considering, you are continuing to do due diligence about pathways that...
It would seem to me that the thing to do would be to approve the form as submitted with changes and dependent upon staff. you know, so in other words, what I think what they're asking for is your approval for the format and what it looks like. You're not approving the form as much because it's not totally finished. And I don't know how that's siding words one way or the other. I don't think it makes much difference. But I would just say, you know, you're giving all everybody a head nod that this is ready to move forward and go from there. But that and that you're ready to have it submitted for to the council for a workshop. That would be what I would think, wouldn't you, Paul?
Yeah, I think you could just say approve the form with the recommended changes and yep. Jackson can pull those out of the minutes off the recording. I got a list. He's got a list. So,
and I tried a list, but it's not very coherent. Because I'll get their list anyway.
That should work fine.
Okay. Do I hear a motion?
Okay. I make a motion that we approve the draft Heritage Tree nomination form with the discussed changes and submit it to City Council for review.
We hear a second.
I second.
You have to vote.
All those, you have to vote. All those in favor.
Aye.
I know what the vote was, but you have to cut and do it anyway.
Thank you. Motion passed. I'm a newbie.
We used to call that MCU. Motion passes unanimously.
Mm. Okay. Other business. Dan, do you have anything for us?
Oh, there's no new trees that I am aware of. If there are any, I can still look at those. If you send me an email and pictures and details, I can still review that. But for this meeting and nothing through March, I have nothing new.
Thank you.
I see you got our cloud cover now.
Yeah, I'm eclipsing the sun with my head, so.
I was wondering if we had any follow-up on the East Portal project, because I noticed maybe there were things I missed, but it seemed like there were three trees slated to come down, and then I counted five when I went back over there.
Yep, there's two approved in the meeting prior to that.
Okay.
So five total. Yeah. And all five of those got removed right away. I mean, they jumped on it really quick.
Yeah.
All five? I'm sorry. Sites. Did you say all five?
All five.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And then, yeah, we're going to leave that stump. I'm not sure what the reasoning is for it, but the labyrinth
folks are hoping to make it into a little altar of some sort.
Okay. Which is no problem to us. It's not going to affect our operations. So that's fine.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. I have some questions about the debris and the bowls of the trees. Any sign of blue stain? Because we're all suspicious of how quickly those trees turn in that location. I highly suspected bugs, and I'm glad those trees are gone, but I want to confirm perhaps what's going on in that spot.
I will have to check with the arborist that did the removal to see.
Okay.
Yeah, my other question was whether or not the wood went to firewood or did it get hauled off?
It got hauled off. That size of wood is difficult and kind of dangerous to manage with firewood.
Okay.
Yep.
So what happens then? Does the city get compensated?
It's reflected in the price
that they charge you to take.
So we get charged less when sometimes, depending on the size of the tree,
mm-hmm.
If the wood is actually valuable, mm-hmm. there's a credit to us.
Gotcha.
But yeah. For the most part, I mean, pine that's dead usually, like Dan says, is blue stained, which automatically gets deducted at the mill, and it's really becomes kind of a firewood deal. Mm-hmm.
So if there is blue stain, Dan, showing on the one stump that the labyrinth folks would like to preserve, which is maybe, I don't know, three and a half feet tall, maybe four, then what? I mean, I didn't see any on the right on the stump, but I did see there were pieces of wood laying around, and some of them had like bluish gray stain.
So the blue stain will be circulating through the actual wood material. Then I think the bugs are in the upper portions, but if it's a serious amount of blue stain, or if you see any evidence in the bugs in the remaining cambium, I still don't want those bugs living. Even if it's a stump, they'll still be in there for a little bit. We could just, if they really want that stump, they can remove the bark and still have the stump, because the bugs like the cambium. And once the cambium is eaten, dead, or the tree is dead, they move on to something else. So I just don't want any residual munching or snacking while they're, you know, this is the time of year where they're finishing up eating trees and going to another tree. So I don't want any evidence or residual debris or anything like that. So that's my concern. I think you're okay. I'm just curious, you know, how extensive that those trees were affected. Like I keep saying, I think it's in the top, but if it was all through the tree and really aggressive, then I'd be a little suspicious of any more trees in that area being infected.
When you went by, Avery, because I went by today, did you notice any other trees? Like I did, I noticed one that was very bare on the top. I don't know if that's, when you talk about, Dan, the top dying off, or the beetle, how it attacks it, would it be like completely bare?
Yes. Well, yeah, the beetle attacks the top, it moves on, and then the top takes about, the rest of the season just turns orange, and the season after that just dies, and it's turned, all the needles fall off, then it turns gray and dead. The remainder of the tree lives. So once again, this might be one and done situation. I think we're okay. These trees are gone. You know, the trees appear just to attack the tops. If you see any other tops in that park that are dying or stressed, we need to discuss how to proceed on those.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed that today. Is that something that I would take a picture of and report? Or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's got to be a new occurrence, something that's gray and dead that's probably been dead all last winter. We can't do anything. Unless it's we pruned some of these out. Another problem is once they die for turn gray and dead after about 2 years, then it's a debris problem. If storms, and if you got traffic and other people underneath, then it's a debris problem. So we've pruned both, you know, the situations where there's bugs active. I believe we trimmed that out in other locations throughout the city, and also the dead portions, you know, just being cautious of debris. And if it's offset from any other concern, perhaps we could just let it sit.
Okay, thank you. Are we on board member comments or?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Were you done? So I have just a related follow-up question to that, which is, so now when I look around town, I see a tree that has a dead top, and I'm like, oh, is that the beetle? Or I've seen some that are not ponderosas mm-hmm. that have, you know, maybe a few feet totally dead at the top. So my question is, how important is it for us to also be aware, even though the private trees are not our, within our jurisdiction, they're still trees and sisters, to observe and report that to somebody at the city?
So the private trees would get reported to our code compliance officer.
If we suspected that they had a similar problem.
If you saw something dying, yeah. Like we have one over on by Timber Creek Bridge. that I know he's working with the property owner on. It's completely red and dead.
Yeah.
But we've been observing that tree for a couple of years now. So that's the
because these...
person to talk to okay. get something done with the property owner at the city.
Okay. Just because this has been handled in such an urgent matter, and I know that some of those other private trees we've talked about have lingered on for a long time before they go. So
I think the urgency on this was the fact that there's been no activity on the site. Mm-hmm. And they just randomly started, you know, especially old growth trees,
mm-hmm.
just started getting infected. Mm-hmm. So it was like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
How do we mitigate it as quick as possible?
Gotcha.
We have other trees, and feel free to send us a picture or a quick, hey, this one doesn't look good to me, and we can have Dan or our next city forester get on it as soon as possible. But we got a half dozen or so trees that Dan's monitoring every time he comes through town and is in the neighborhood. We got a couple more that are starting to die on Hood Avenue that are in our landscape. They're not big trees, but it's a bummer. And you can see them. When you drive down the street, you can see it. You're just like, it's just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think over time, I have to compliment all the forestry board. I think you guys learned some skills and some basic terminology, and you recognize these things. And it's good to have more feet on the ground and eyes and, you know, people to take pictures. So I appreciate your feedback.
I did have one more comment on East Portal. Just my understanding, that's going to be developed into transportation.
A mobility hub.
Mobility
yep.
hub.
Yep.
And I was just wondering if that the process or that design is coming out for review. Will the Urban Forestry Board review that? Or since those are public trees mostly in there, is that right? Or
well, they're all public trees. So it's public property, right? So we're getting to a point where we went through preliminary design, through a master planning process, and then we got a layout. We revised the layout to save trees. That was the main reason we did it. And then we're waiting to see the actual first CAD drawing of that, what that looks like. And then we'll be able to bring it to you guys for you to look at.
And the decisions made there, or the, I guess, the process, is that the development code or is that the municipal code for an internal development? I'm just curious.
I think the decision on... to save or not to save a tree, I think can be a recommendation from the board
okay.
to our design team. And then we get the feedback on, well, if this, then that, you know? Yeah. Yep. But we're moving ahead with, we know we have to provide so much parking. We know we have to provide the type of turning radiuses to accommodate the big buses that will be using the site. We know we have to provide ADA facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, we're going to try to save every tree we can.
Cool.
Yep.
In fact, I think the first design really took a lot of trees out.
It did.
And the second iteration I saw really significantly changed the footprint to try to avoid some of the more significant trees.
Very cool.
So if trees are being removed, hopefully they tend to be some of our younger trees or less significant trees in the grouping. The fact that we lost these old growths is really uncomfortable, but
especially they were all out of the footprint.
Yeah.
Oh, really? One of them. They were pretty nice trees. Yeah.
Yep. We're going to have a check-in with the design team tomorrow morning, so we'll know more.
Oh, cool.
Is that an outside consultant?
It is. Yep. Kittleson and Associates. They're out of Bend. They're a transportation engineering group. Yeah.
And do you have a sense of the timing of when the next phase of actual construction will begin?
We're looking at fall, winter of 2024.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Got the first round of funding pretty much in place.
Yep.
And that it's a multi-phase project, as I recall. Mm-hmm. So this would be the phase one, which, if I'm correct, is the primary turning space for the buses.
Yeah, it's the bus loop and the short-term parking lot. Short-term
parking lot. That's yep. what I thought too.
Yeah. And then the EV chargers as well.
Yep. And so.
So if someone submits an application for a heritage tree on public property, at some point in the process, consideration of that area and future development plans would have to play into it. We might have to deny an application because, oh, that's going to be a parking lot.
A reservoir.
Next year or,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what part of the process would that happen? After Urban Forestry Board approval and before City Council? Or I mean, it's just something probably to think about the timing of that.
In my looking at other cities, they frequently go straight to the city manager or the public works department to go through that check so that we're not taking up your
waste, yeah, wasting the time.
See if there are any existing utilities, future plans, if it's feasible.
Mm. Okay, great.
I did a lot of this research after you folks saw this form, so
good.
No, that's great.
Those are all the questions I think will probably be coming up as the process is defined more. On the roundabout, Dan, you mentioned last month the concern about removal of slash to control some of the infestations that could happen with all that juicy bark laying there. I kind of went over there, but it was hard to tell. It's a little hidden from view, but I still see obviously the large tree, the trunks. But is slash more of the things that it's more broken down, like smaller pieces, or that includes slash, the big logs?
Well, I think they prefer the bigger, bulkier logs and the larger diameter limbs. Once you get crunched limbs and needles and that sort, they don't really like that. They like the certain diameter. But any debris that is still there, I'm surprised. I hope there's no large pieces there. That's my concern. And I live in Roseburg now, so I haven't driven through, so I am concerned to have this still brought up over a month. How much debris is there? Is it large diameter, or what's going on?
There's some of the original logs. All the slash has been hauled off, I believe.
Okay.
But none of those trees were infected.
Okay. Well, I'm concerned now about new infection. I mean,
right. We also don't have control over when those or how those get removed. It okay. is an ODOT project and it's an ODOT contractor.
Oh,
okay. So my only suggestion is just a normal conversation as, hey, look, this is a concern. Perhaps you can get rid of these soon. That's the only all I can say about that.
That's all we can say to the inspector.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
The main huge pile of slash I observed was taken off really soon after the last meeting when we discussed it. So what's there now that I foresee, unless something new has cropped up, are the bigger actual logs.
Okay.
Two large trunks.
And every time I drive by that Ponderosa that we were nice enough to have the multi access path moved around, so it's sitting there, and I see all the tractors and equipment driving around it. I'm like, hang in there, baby, hang in there. I really hope it's going to make it. How quickly would we know it's not going to make it, Dan? Will it deteriorate quickly if it's going to go?
It all depends. I think over a process of why they're building and maybe as much as a year or two after that, we'll know. But from what I've seen in the early stages, once you get off at the right foot, from what I saw at the very beginning, I was impressed with what they're doing. So I think we're off to a good start. So I'm optimistic.
Great, then I will be too.
And
good.
So the work that's being done is being done under state regulation. Is that right then? If this ODOT project, their preservation code, tree preservation code, is being enacted in this project, not the city of Sistrunk.
We're talking the Oregon Department of Transportation, so I'm not sure if they even have tree code.
Right, right.
Yep.
Which just asked all the condos along Highway 20.
Okay.
That are no longer there.
Interesting. That kind of clarifies some things for me, though, because I wasn't. There's some work being done, but I feel like more could have been
done. We worked hard to get the roundabout. I say we, that man did. Yeah. And you know, put money on the table to get it, move it up in the build list. And ODOT worked with us vigorously to see that would happen. Mm-hmm. But it's their project.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the benefit of it when it's done, but it is a state highway. And so
why don't we nominate it as a heritage tree? And okay,
you would have to get their sign off since they are the property owner.
Yeah. Darn,
to remove that one line.
Take it off. Is there an update on the Forester RFP
process? It is due back. Jackson, tell me if I'm wrong here.
April 16th.
So next Tuesday.
Oh, okay. I think the dates changed then because it was the
5th. Yeah, no, it changed. We had to do some more research on how to get it farther out into the people that are going to propose on this type of stuff. So, yeah, and I think we got some interest there. We actually got it on a state website as well. So
great.
Yeah.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah, and we may not find the person on the first go around. We got to make sure we find the right person, not just a person. So
I know I volunteered to help with the application process. If just let me know, I'm sure you got timelines you're working with. I'd be glad to. It's also if the day's not set, it's hard to know.
As soon as we get them in, you'll see a packet on Wednesday the 17th.
Oh, okay.
Of all the submittals.
Okay.
And then we'll schedule, you know, I'll have Jackson work with you on what time he works to get together. Okay. Yeah.
I have one last comment about the Inflation Reduction Act and the Urban and Community Forestry funding is coming down the pipeline from the state. They're going to have $12.5 million to give out starting in probably May. It might get pushed back a little bit. And I was just wondering if the city of Sistrunk has if anybody's aware that we've applied for any funding through that grant opportunity.
What's the name of the grant again, Avery?
Well, it's the Inflation Reduction Act, Urban and Community Forestry grant fund, I think, something like that. I could send some links or something. There's a lot more clear information online. And we could also talk with, as I've spoken with her as a, you know, participant with Redmond, but there's a Brittany Oxford could help us if we were interested in creating a proposal. A lot of the money's, you know, we have a urban forestry management plan. That's some of the stuff people are doing, but money for inventory, money for all types of things. There's also another grant coming available this year through the DLCD, which is $6.5 million that is for green infrastructure. So that could be even for parks and things like that. So just a heads up, and maybe we could put it as an item on next month's agenda to discuss.
Are you allowed to tell us that since you worked for the city of Redmond?
That I do? I hope so. I do.
If you come across any links like that, please send them my way.
Okay, I can do that.
Always keep an eye out for stuff like that. I really appreciate it.
Sounds good. I can send you the two that I know of.
Thank you.
Jackson is constantly writing grant applications. Oh. I mean, it's great. A large part of his job. So
cool.
Whether it be water, sewer, streets, parks.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's endless.
Well, this particular opportunity, the ODF, is actually They received the grant initially from the federal government to the state. ODF received it, and they actually retained some of that funding on their end to finance the assistance for smaller communities to apply for grants. So they can provide some assistance to us if we need it.
Is that the Oregon Community Tree Grants program?
No, that one did just happen, but that's a different one. That was like a little bit smaller.
Well, and I will say, we don't always hear about everything because we're a smaller entity.
Yeah.
And we don't have as, so sometimes our bigger brothers and sisters can steer some things our way. And so, thank you. It never hurts to say, did you know about this, and have them say yes, than to say, did you know about this? And, oh, I didn't even know it was happening. When did you apply? Yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they were saying too, they might create a 90-day window for the application process, which is a little longer than normal, which is nice, because a lot of the communities they're hoping to reach are may not be aware, may be smaller, may not have capacity. So
don't tell Roseburg.
Even if those deadlines have passed, the information is still plan out. We have that much more time to figure out what it might be good for.
Yeah.
They're all about cutting trees in Roseburg.
Yeah, it's a tree cutting town.
Yep.
Tree, the timber capital of the world.
Well, yeah, it's.
It is now.
I think the only thing that comes close is Longview, Washington.
I lived in Springfield when they were bringing in left and right in there, but all those mills have closed down except for one, I think.
Yeah, they have a few. Then they got hardwoods in Springfield, more towards Junction City.
Yep.
So I had a quick update on our wastewater treatment plant phase two fuel reduction project. Our contractor is just wrapping up. He's actually moving out of the project site. We brought him in to remove a little over 50 mature, dead, and or dying ponderosa trees that were too big to be processed under the phase one contract, which we had a different scope of work, different size considerations for dealing with slash, dealing with wood, and it didn't fit well in that game plan. So we decided to let that contractor get done. They finished last summer, and then we were waiting for frozen ground all winter that never happened. So we had to wait till the snow was off the ground in order to get them in there. And so everything's been removed and piled to be burned, and we will be burning. We'll be watching the weather over the next week or two to get rid of the slash up there. So,
and where's this?
At our wastewater treatment plant site. So we did a big thinning project last year, and this is all grant funded with a wildfire fuel reduction grant that we got from the state of Oregon.
Okay.
And so this part of work is grant funded as well.
Okay.
So
is that over by behind Five Pine? Is that what you're talking about?
Correct. Yep.
Yep. And we only burn slash when the wind blows towards Five Pines and not towards my house.
Yeah, we removed trees right up to the Five Pine property last year. So
right.
In that buffer area.
Yeah.
Yep. And it actually looked pretty good when they were done.
Mm-hmm. Looked great.
Opened it up, looked great, because I walk in there a lot.
Yeah, after we had, during the phase two part of this project last week, I had our wildfire consultant that wrote our wildfire mitigation plan actually inspect the site to make sure that the removal was what he had prescribed, and he was very impressed with the work they're doing.
Good. So,
yeah.
Thank you. That's awesome.
The Arbor Day event on April 26th is coming up. I know Emmy talked about these 100 seedlings for planting. Do we know where those are going exactly? Is there a planned location of the trees, of the seedlings?
So Creekside Park It's going to be in the restoration area, which is between the fence, the split rail fence, and the creek. And the Upper Deschutes Watershed Council people will determine where those trees get planted.
Okay.
It's what they do. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I was a little concerned, but I'm glad.
Yeah, no, we're not going to be picking them. They're
randomly
lay them out.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Yep.
And then I heard, I don't know if it was directly from Emmy or when she talked with us, but you're going to have some other trees in addition to those that are being planted?
I don't know. I think she was working on the budget. I'm not sure where she's at with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I asked her at, what meeting was I at that I asked her? Too many meetings, not enough time in my brain. But anyway, she mentioned that they did have some other species that I think they'd acquired, but it was primarily the ponderosas.
Yep.
So does the area go up or downstream kind of ways? Because that's a lot of ponderosa trees.
Bridge to bridge, both sides of the creek.
Oh, both sides. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of real estate in there.
Okay.
There yep. And you got to figure you're going to have a mortality rate, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. There's
quite a bit on the campground side, I think, isn't there?
Yeah, there's quite a bit on both sides. Yep.
And then hopefully there'll be some number to give away also. Depends on how it works out, my understanding from Emmy.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a Parks Board meeting because we talked about the same thing because it affects the park as well. So it's,
okay.
That was the other one, and my brain was there somewhere. And I asked her specifically if there were going to be any to give out, and she said it really depended on how they laid them out and things like that. She was unsure, but she hoped there'd be some, but there would not be a lot. Mm-hmm. And suggested that people who might want one may want to get there early.
I haven't seen any flyers or anything on the event. Has anybody else seen communication, public communications?
It has gone out. I've seen a couple.
Okay.
Maybe it's only because I'm getting them in my city email.
We can follow up with Rebecca on that. She does all of our public noticing.
Okay.
Advertising,
and it may
marketing.
Be something in Wednesday's.
I believe it went out in the last Roundup newsletter.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And I don't know if it's showing up in the Nugget or
maybe not. This week in the Nugget.
Coming up, but
yeah. Social media.
It should be on her social media accounts too.
Yeah. I've seen this somewhere, two different things. I might have got something in the mail today. So, and it was on one of the social media pages. Somebody posted it on Nextdoor Sisters. So I saw it there. Someone had posted a picture of the flyer.
Okay.
Yeah, and always feel free to shoot her an email.
Okay.
Let her know as well, Rebecca Green.
Yeah.
Yep. She was on our board.
She was.
I misspoke. That will be going out this month's newsletter.
So when does that go out?
Sometime next week, I would imagine.
And the event is the 26th?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did see it somewhere.
Are there any other comments? No. Okay.
No.
I will just say, put it out to you. I asked Emmy, would she like me to put up flyers around town? And she basically declined. So I feel as though I'd like to participate in getting the word out more. But she stated that she didn't want too many people showing up because they only have so many helping hands from Colleen's side.
Right.
And she only has the resources to deal with so many people showing up. So I think there's, from her perspective, a balancing act there.
That makes sense.
Are there, there's like 20 students coming as well, right?
From 20 students.
And maybe their families.
And adults too can participate in the planting. The person who's the main rep from Upper Deschutes Watershed Council, Colleen, very good at instructing people how to plant.
Yep. It will be a significantly larger Arbor Day celebration than we've done in the past.
Great.
I think that's part of the concern, is the others have been a little more contained. But I think it's great. I'm looking to see if I can find that announcement that I saw, but it looks like I'm not going to have any luck.
Dan, do you have anything else?
No, I shared everything I had out of my mind, so thank you.
Okay. There's no further comments. We'll adjourn the meeting at 4:11 p.m.
Nice job.
Good job.
Thank you.